Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That well-known and favorite Bible passage, John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is our text. Have you ever wanted to confess your faith to someone else, but not been sure where to begin? An easy place to begin when confessing your faith is to simply ask questions. Ask the other person to tell you about God. Show an interest in who that person is and in what they believe. You could ask things like, who or what is God? And just what is this God like that you believe in? And if they're open to conversation, you can follow that up by asking why they think whatever it is they think. Find out where their beliefs come from. And as the door opens bit by bit and a little bit further, you can look for opportunities to share what you believe with that person as well, and to share why you believe what you believe and where your beliefs come from. So it can simply start this way. Tell me about God. And in response, I wouldn't be surprised at all if you heard something like this. Well, who is God? Well, I think that God has something to do with love. Yeah, that's right. God must have something to do with love because love is the most important thing. It makes the world go round. All you need is love. So I don't know a lot about God, but whoever or whatever he is, it's all about love. Now, as Christians, we can certainly say that they put their finger on something very important. Love and God do go together. They are cut from the same cloth. They're almost like two peas in a pod. Almost, I say, but not quite. Hold on to that thought for a couple of minutes. So people recognize that God and love go together, but most people are less clear on exactly how to connect the dots between them. What is meant by love? Who gets to define what love is? What counts as loving? What counts as not loving? And how does God love? And I think you can tell that probably there are certainly times and ways in which what you may define as love, others may not see as love at all. So I would say the question boils down to this. What's love got to do with God? And I mean not in a slogan sort of way, but in a nitty-gritty and particular and concrete way. What does love have to do with God? As we say, the devil's in the details. And what you'll find is that most people have some idea of love and also a corresponding idea of the opposite, hate. And the ideas they have correspond to their own thinking of what makes people happy and what makes people feel good about themselves. I think when you drill down into most people's definitions of love, it has to do with happiness and feeling good about ourselves. And the ideas that they have, these ideas have been formed by their own personal experiences, by the environment they've grown up in. It's their home, their school, their peer group, their pop culture and entertainment that they've taken in. And so when it comes to God and love, what ends up happening is this. God begins to fit neatly into their personal definition of love. You could say that love is like the big category. Love is the broad, the universal idea, and God is a subset of love. Love is the box, and God gets crammed inside. Whatever I think love is, God must fit with that definition. And of course, they'll say that God is the highest, the best, the most universal example of love. Whatever someone thinks is true of love must therefore be true of God. The two can't possibly be in conflict, and if there appears to be a conflict between them, then something has to give. And for most people, what gives is God. In other words, the view that people have of love is usually quite rigid, while their ideas about God are very plastic. God can be bent, he can be molded, he can be reshaped to fit whatever it is that love means to them. And if you press this person to ask where this idea comes from, they might even say that it comes from the Bible. If you ask for a Bible verse, they might say, God is love. I know it sounds so cliche. You might even wonder sometimes, is that actually in the Bible? And the answer is yes, it is. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, God is love. Or they might pull out the verse that we have today, one of our favorite Bible passages, God so loved the world. See, it says it right there, God loves, God is love. And not only does God love, but he even loves the world, which must mean that he loves everyone and he loves everything. Now, maybe you're already starting to pick up on some of the problems with this. It's not a problem with the Bible verses, of course, but with how they're being used. Using them to back up our ideas, our thoughts, and our definitions of love. The starting point is the problem. Are we starting with God and then learning from him what love is? Or are we starting from love, our ideas of love, and then making God conform to those ideas and cherry-picking Bible verses that seem to fit? It's why I said that God and love are almost like two peas in a pod, but not quite. Because that would make them two equal things sitting side by side. You've got God and you've got love, and these things are separate in some way. Yes, God is love, and yes, God most certainly loves, but he is also the one who gives love its content. He is the one who forms the peas in the pod. He is not one of them. He makes love what it is. He defines love. And this is very different than saying that love is God, which is often what people mean. They don't mean that God is love, but they mean that love is God. So love trumps everything, and usually it's their own personal definition of love. But we can't say, we cannot believe that love is something outside of God or separate from him. We can't establish a standard of love and then use that standard to measure God or to reshape him. Our ideas of love don't get to define God and tell God what he's like. Well, God, you can't be like that because that doesn't fit what I think love is. That gets it all backwards. So what does it mean that God is love? What does it mean that God loves the world? We have to set aside our own ideas. We have to set aside our own experiences and thoughts about life and listen to what he says. Or better yet, we need to set those things aside and listen to what he does. For what we see is that the love of God is not simply in his feelings, it's not an emotion, but it's in his actions. Love is what God does. It's what he has done for the world, and it's what he does for you. And that takes us to today's verse. God so loved the world. God loved the world in this way. He gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God's love cannot be reduced to our thoughts and our ideas about what love is. His love is seen in the gift of his Son. Certainly in giving his Son to enter this world, to be born of the Virgin Mary, and then giving his Son as he comes into the world to bear the sins of the world and to head to the cross. The love of God hangs on a tree. His love is a love not that pats us on the head, but it is a love that bleeds and dies for us. The world tends to think of love as a sort of sweet, saccharine, feel-good sort of thing. You might say almost an artificial sweetener of sorts. But God's love is not a do whatever feels good. God's love is not a whatever makes you happy kind of love. His love is serious, and it is strong, and it is raw, and it is real. and it is gritty and bloody. The love of God comes in the shape of a cross. And if we want to know and understand what love is, then we had best also conform our ideas and thoughts of love into the shape of the cross. Because this is a real love for a world that is in need of real love, not of fake love. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Our ideas of love, the world's ideas of love, what people say love is, that doesn't save anyone. And too often, those ideas of love only end up hurting and harming people. But the love of God saves the world through Christ. A world, a people, we, as St. Paul says in our reading from Ephesians, we who were dead in our trespasses and sins. A world that is not deserving of being loved, but that desperately needs it. Dead in trespasses and sins, and yet God loves the world. Trespasses has to do with false steps, with losing our footing, with violating some moral standard, crossing a barrier that should not be crossed. St. Paul also mentions the passions of the flesh and the desires of the body and the mind. And he says that it is by grace we have been saved. By the grace of God that is seen in his Son dying for us on the cross. The grace that comes not from us and what we've done in any way, but the grace that is a result of his strong and raw and real love. St. Paul calls us, apart from God's love in Christ, children of wrath. He speaks of the world as being under God's judgment, unless we are under the wings of his love, under the cross of Christ. It's like the children of Israel in that first reading from the book of Numbers. They were in the wilderness, having left Egypt, and you might remember when they left Egypt, it was no small thing. 10 plagues that God sent to deliver them. 10 plagues by which he struck Egypt and saved his people. And then they get to the Red Sea, and God leads his people safely through. They go to Mount Sinai, where they worship God and receive his 10 commandments. And as they go through the wilderness, it is difficult, and it is long, and it is hard, and the people grumble. They speak against God. They speak against Moses. They say that God has simply brought them out because he wants to kill them, and he wants to make their lives miserable. Maybe we felt like that way at some point as well. And then they learned what death and misery is really like. They learned that death and misery is when God withdraws his love and his care. They learned that death and misery is when they feel the judgment of God and what life apart from him is like. And then they learned the love of God. Because God commanded Moses in that wilderness to make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole so that everyone, when they are bitten by those serpents, could look on that serpent that God had given through Moses and live. God's love to rescue a world that is lost. God's love to rescue selfish and grumbling sinners. And he uses means. Think about what God did in his love for them. He attached his word of promise to that bronze serpent that Moses made so that he could show them his love, so that he could save them from their sins, so that he could give them life with him. And so they received. They looked on the very object that was tormenting them, lifted on a cross, lifted up on a stick, and they were saved. And so it is for us, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Because of our sin, because of the grumbling, because of our turning away from God, we suffer under the judgment of death, of God's punishment and his judgment. But he has placed on a cross, lifted up for us, an object by which we can be saved, our Lord Jesus Christ. In him we see the love of God. In him, we see a love that saves a world lost and dead in trespasses and sins. And this is what we need. And it is the very object that threatens us that God uses to save us. Death, apart from Christ, will only condemn. We will only be lost. But in Christ, death saves. His death, the love of God saving us. And I can guarantee you that no person at the point of death and judgment wants to hear about that sweet, sappy sort of love. Even the wisest sort of love that ever was. No one wants to hear simply about a Jesus who has a loving heart. What a person staring death in the face needs is Jesus himself. What that person needs is to hear that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so it is for you and for me and for all those whom we may wish to confess, to whom we may wish to confess our faith. In the end, what they need to hear is not only that God is love, but that God is a God who loves by sending his Son to die for sinners. That's what love has to do with God. Everything to do with God. And with the gift of God's Son, dying for us on the cross. So may God take our ideas and our thoughts of love, and may he press them into the shape of Christ, that we may know the love that God has for us, and that we may show forth that love of God to others as well. God grant this to us for Jesus' sake. Amen.